This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in. It's Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show tonight on Twitch. Find the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. The comments hot after you, Abdallah, in the chat on the Twitch.
Well, look, I'm just saying I make sense. It's a proximity thing.
Well, I think people just were you were very animated.
Because
5 minutes ago,
yelling? You weren't understanding what I was trying to say.
No, I heard
it's
you.
It's like talking to a wall.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to keep things moving.
I'd go home. Horrible jokes. I have no idea.
What was that?
It's a horrible joke. It's a horrible...
Can you repeat yourself?
No, I'm not going to.
Was that like a wife joke?
Yeah, it was like a... I think it's the chair.
Yeah. Well, all right, Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah with you tonight. We are previewing UFC 251, and our coverage tonight is brought to you by Body Armor. When we look at the fight tomorrow night, a lot of the conversation is about the atmosphere, right? Because it's going to be at Fight Island.
Fight Island!
Now, Dana White has done a great job promoting this and getting this, not only the card together and at last minute putting it together, but also setting up the concept of Fight Island. It's a big deal. It's a big thing. It's a piece of conversation. You know, there's not many live sports going on right now, and clearly the marquee matchup for this weekend is the title fights that he is featuring within his UFC card tomorrow night, 251, on Fight Island. And I think a lot of that has to do with the promotion of this event and the spectacle that this will be. So I feel like one of the things to look at with all of this is, like, first of all, why did you have to go to Abu Dhabi to do this, right? Like, you couldn't find a place in this country to set up a place where you could have a quarantine section for your fighters. You were already doing it in Florida. I get it if you want to get out of Florida. But, like, a part of all of this is the sell job from the showman that is Dana White.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a spectacle. It's an event. When I'm yelling Fight Island for a reason. Like, it's cool to say Fight Island and how we're going to be on Fight Island for like a week, 2 weeks, and there's going to be fights tomorrow. There's going to be fights on the 15th. Like, there's going to be all of these string of fights that are happening while they're on this island. And you can't, there's a lot of international fighters that can't come to the United States right now because they have to quarantine or they're not allowed to come in here because of the coronavirus restrictions, but they can get to Abu Dhabi. And you can quarantine there, and you can get tested. You can get tested there. You can get tested before you leave. You can get tested when you land. You can get tested right before you fight. You can get tested before you, whatever you want to do. You can get tested all, you can take all the tests you want. And hopefully you test negative every time. And if you test positive, you get out of there and you quarantine and they isolate you and you get kicked off Fight Island. But ultimately, what?
Wouldn't that be awesome if that was the reality show? Is they just, like, pushed you off the edge and there's sharks swimming in the water?
No, because then people are dying.
Well, no, they fight them off. They're fighters.
No.
I'd take a UFC fighter over a shark.
Well, they say when you fight a shark, you're supposed to punch them in the nose?
Right in the nose.
Right in the nose. Right in the front of the nose.
You don't think a UFC fighter can punch someone in the nose?
Well, how much of your punch is... stopped by the force of the water, because you're in water and everything is slow.
See, what I'm seeing is you get pushed into the water, but it's shallow. So they stand up. Here comes the shark out of the water, punch in the nose, down goes the shark.
Why are the sharks swimming in? Like, is this a pool of sharks? Or is this like in the off the coast of Abu Dhabi? Because I don't know if there's sharks off the coast of Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, there's a reef. Jellyfish and whatnot. Yeah,
there are.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get stung.
Do not, actually, I've been to the Red Sea. and they have a bunch of jellyfish, and they don't sting you. Because, like, they wash up on the shore, and you just pick them up, and you throw them back in. And they don't sting you, because they want to get back in the water.
Our show tonight is brought to you by Body Armor. Go to 7-Eleven and get two 28-ounce Body Armors for $4. Hashtag only you can drink Body Armor. Dana White was on First Take yesterday talking about setting up Fight Island with Stephen A. Smith.
A lot of noise has been made at the time about, obviously, and appropriately so, because of the times that we're living in with this pandemic and what have you. I want you to put in perspective how difficult it has been for you and the UFC to put forth these events, since you were obviously the first to go out there. You're willing to extend beyond the borders of the United States of America during this particular moment in time. Can you crystallize for us what it's been like trying to put events together, particularly not just in the United States, but abroad?
Yeah, obviously, you know, when you do what we do, this is a tough business anyway. People get hurt. Things happen all the time. There's all kinds of, unforeseen things that happen the week of an event. During this pandemic, the hardest part in the beginning was the negativity that we received from the media and the amount of people that tried to stop this event, from media to politicians, you name it. That was the hardest thing that I've ever gone through since I've been in this business. But then pulling off Fight Island, you know, we're shipping people in from planes left from London, planes left from Las Vegas, planes left from Brazil, making sure that everybody was healthy before they got on that plane. And then getting here now to really make sure that everybody's good, we've all been in a 48-hour quarantine in our hotel room. So obviously very unique circumstances and a lot of different problems we deal with now that we never had to deal with before. The way that I'm built is I'm a guy, there's a solution to every problem. And you have to dig in. You have to figure it out. It might not be fun. It's definitely going to be expensive, but I believe that all these leagues could be going right now. First of all, I truly believe that nobody wanted to take, you know, the arrows that I took early on from the media. I think that every other league would have immediately backed down with the amount of, the way that I was attacked by the media. They all would have backed down. I could care less what the media thinks. I think the media are weak, and they're never going to determine how I live my personal life or run my business. So that was never an issue for me.
That's Dana White on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. John Schaumburg, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, Black. Sorry to change the subject, Dak, but I...
No, go for it.
Earlier when you were talking about the NFL format, and I was thinking before you said it, I was guessing you were going to say do it like how they do Champions League, and that's kind of what you said, except that's only six games. This and a group of four,
yeah.
This would be. But I think Champions League has eight groups, so it's just would be just like the NFL with four divisions in each. I like your 12 idea even better. I think Abdallah kept interrupting you, no offense, Adam. But
I know. He
talking
did.
About the Colts, forget the Colts for a minute. Just listen, hear me out. Bragging rights would be insane. It would only be for 1 year. I think it would be cool as hell to play the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions four times and see how it all ends up. But I don't think you ever got into saying what the playoff format would be. Would you take the two best teams in each division and go with 16-team tournament, or what do you think?
No, I would just keep the playoffs the same. I would just keep it the playoffs are the same qualifications as they normally are.
Okay, so then it would be based on records across divisions anyway,
yeah.
How
yeah.
it normally is. Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I disagree with Adam. I think it would be cool for 1 year to see how we would do four times against each team in all the divisions, just to see. So I like your idea better.
Thank you, John.
I would go for that.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for listening. Take that, Abdallah. How about
you,
that?
You really want a 4-8 football team, don't you?
No, I mean, I just, you know,
no,
hearing...
No, you want
hearing,
a 4-8 football team. That's okay.
If you're
okay.
just tuning in, hearing all the college football conferences saying that they're only going to play within their conference, Big Ten only going to play against the Big Ten, same with the Pac-12. They announced that earlier today. I was just thinking earlier today, like, what if the NFL gets to a point? They're going to have the season. What if they get to a point where it's not logistically possible to be traveling all around the country each week throughout the football season? What if you just kept the teams within their division and you just played as many games possible to get as close as you could to the 16? Like, I wouldn't want to see the 16 games just made up of the teams in the division, but I think if you gave me 12, that would be interesting. And I think if you gave me 12 games, you could probably figure out who the playoff teams are, right? Don't you think 12 games is enough to figure that out? We wouldn't need the full 16 if you're only playing against your division. You think they'll go 4-8 in the division? Is that really what you think?
Are they better than the Packers?
Yeah, probably. They could split. Little splitsies.
Are they better than the Vikings?
Yeah, split it.
So you're just splitting everything?
We're
just splitting
everything? No. You get the Lions 3.
Everything? We're just so they're 6-6?
Nah, I mean, 7.
6-6?
Maybe get up to 7, perhaps.
7-5?
Maybe 8. Could you get to 8? Get all the Lions options?
So it's January, December, and the end of December, early January. It's the end of the season. Bears and Lions 4.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? I don't know why that's such a bad idea to you.
It's just not going to happen. No one's going to watch that. I mean, people will watch it.
People will absolutely watch it.
People will watch that.
People will watch that. So we're talking UFC 251. So when you look at the card, mm-hmm. you look at the top line of the card, mm-hmm. Masvidal and Usman, and these two going against each other. Is there any gambling lean that you're looking at tonight before we get to the fights tomorrow?
I like Masvidal. I believe he's plus 170 now, last I checked. I just don't, there's no value for me on Usman because he's like minus 190. So I'm going to take a flyer on Masvidal, on the guy who has come in, who Ray told us last hour, he's just a fighter. Like, he's a dude that just can come in and just fight. And as long as he stays upright and as long as this doesn't turn into a grappling match on the ground, I like Masvidal. I'm probably going to put something on Masvidal to win. Just because I can get plus 170 on a fight, I don't think it'll go. If I did want to take Usman, I would take Usman by decision because there's better value at Usman by decision than there is just Usman in general.
Yeah, so Brett Okamoto was on SportsCenter with Zubin Mahinty, and Usman's prep for the new opponent, Masvidal. When you look at this competition, here's Okamoto talking about the prep in this matchup.
One more question here about Usman. He's got a new opponent. He's going to have to fight him on short notice. What kind of challenges does that present for him?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people would look at this and say, hey, this is an easier fight for Kamaru Usman, right? I mean, he was fighting a guy in Gilbert Burns who had a full camp, who had already won two fights earlier this year. Now he's getting Jorge Masvidal, who has not fought this year and is only taking this fight on 6 days' notice. But I got to tell you, man, when I look back on some of the most infamous fights on short notice in UFC history, you know, Nate Diaz came in and beat Conor McGregor on 11 days' notice the first time they fought. Michael Bisping won a UFC middleweight championship on 17 days' notice against Luke Rockhold, who had already beaten him prior to that fight. And I think a lot of that has to do with mental. Kamaru Usman came in, at least he knew exactly what he was dealing with Gilbert Burns. But now he's got a guy who sucks all the air out of the room, and Jorge Masvidal, who's a big star, is getting a lot of attention. And Jorge Masvidal is coming into this thing loose. So while I do think I'm picking Kamaru Usman in this fight, Jorge Masvidal is a very live dog here.
Interesting. So there is some precedent. Last thing on Masvidal and the weight loss. There's losing 5 pounds. There's trying to trim a couple pounds if you're you and me. But tell me about the weight loss this guy's had to undergo in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, well, that's always a big eyebrow-raising thing, right, is when everybody who listens to Masvidal talk say that he's going to lose 20 pounds over the course of 6 days. That sounds crazy, and it is crazy, but I would also tell you that it's not completely unprecedented. In fact, it's not even all that rare for guys in the UFC to cut. That's about, you know, a little over 10% of his body weight. He's come down from 190 pounds. That happens all the time in the UFC. These guys cut a lot of weight. Now, the difference here is that he's traveling a lot, and then, like I mentioned earlier, he's going to be in his hotel room quarantining for a good amount of time. So it is a little bit of a different cut. But I think Masvidal is going to make weight. My question is, how is that going to impact him on the night of the fight? I think he's going to be fine, but it is something to monitor for sure.
Coverage on Saturday begins on Fight Pass. Prelims on ESPN at 8 Eastern. Main card 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Brett with us on SportsCenter at night after it's done in the United Arab Emirates. Brett, thanks.
So that's SportsCenter the other night as we look forward to UFC 251.
Fight Island!
And all the coverage tonight is brought to you by Body Armor. Go to 7-Eleven, get 2 28-ounce body armors for $4. Hashtag only you can. Coming up next, we continue our conversation with Ray Flores from Fox Sports and Showtime as we talk more about Fight Island in the UFC.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Our coverage of UFC 251 tonight is brought to you by Body Armor. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. If you want to join the show, you can call us at 312-332-3776. You can also watch the show on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. I'm excited for the fights tomorrow. It should be fun to watch. We are now joined by Ray Flores again from Fox Sports and Showtime. He's their boxing and UFC expert. You can follow him on Twitter, SBR Flores. Ray and I were roommates for a year also.
And my neighbors.
Ray Flores used to work here at ESPN 1000. That's why we're such good friends with him. We went to Columbia College Chicago together.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and I lived together for a year.
You did, and you lived next door to me.
And boy, was that a year.
Literally next door to me.
Yeah, garden apartment next
door
to you.
Knock on your window and be like, hey, yeah, it's time to go to work. Let's go.
Just hang out.
Let's go.
We'd grill.
He'd eat hot dogs?
Yeah, he'd eat some hot dogs on... Some loose hot dogs?
Loose dogs.
I mean, that meant like no bun, no dressing. Yeah. Just he would just pick the hot dog off the grill and kind of just like this.
Ray only knew one speed.
And, oh,
Ray
go.
Was either, yeah. Ray was either all sober in. Or Ray was...
All in. Go.
All in.
Yeah. Ray does know one speed. He goes for it, man.
That is a bro right there. Ray is a bro.
So that's a hell of an intro for part two of our conversation.
In the nicest way possible, Ray is a bro.
He absolutely is. It was a fun year living with Ray.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff. Like I could write a book, probably a two-parter. Like, there'd have to be a sequel to the book.
I could picture Ray laughing right now listening to this because the podcast we could do telling the stories from the year that we lived together, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of the stories we could actually tell on air, but it'd be a good book. It'd be a good pod.
We would go back and do podcast in your apartment, and you could just hear Ray on the couch laughing because he was just entertained. Like, he was like, I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to sit here and listen to you guys do a podcast so I don't have to go back and listen later.
Listen, I'm sure Gustavo Vega, day one of the Black and Abdallah show, I'm sure he can find it. I'm sure he could dig it up in the archives, dusty archives from back in the day.
The Breaking Bad one. It was the Breaking Bad finale. We were watching it at separate apartments. I was at my apartment, you were your apartment, and we both watched it and were like, we need to talk about this right now.
Yeah, so we potted in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And Ray was in the background cackling. It was fantastic. Anyway, here's Ray Flores joining the show, talking about Fight Island tomorrow night, UFC 251.
Chris and Adam, I think this is brilliant because international fighters have had a hard time coming here to the United States because of the coronavirus pandemic. What Fight Island allows is for international fighters to compete within the octagon. So I know that they've had a lot of wonderful partnership with the government out in Abu Dhabi. They have given the UFC, you know, tons of, you know, acres to be able to have their facilities. They are working hand in hand, making sure that the fighters get tested. To my knowledge, fighters have to be tested at least 5 times during the course of when they are fighting and competing at Fight Island. You have to get tested before you even leave. You get tested as soon as you go ahead and land. You're tested during, you know, as you're in, after you're in quarantine. I mean, they do such an extensive job, and I love the fact that we are getting excellent fights like how we have tomorrow night. 3 world title fights. Also, you have Rose Namajunas, Jessica Andrade, that is on the pay-per-view card as well. I think Dana White continues to be a pioneer, and I think it's wonderful that he is spearheading combat sports coming back, because without him, who knows if we'd get fights at this point.
As far as testing positive and the testing that goes on, you just went through how each fighter gets tested, how many times they get tested. But as far as, like, you know, Gilbert Burns was pulled because he tested positive. They're lucky. UFC is lucky to have a guy like Masvidal who can come in and replace this. Have they done a good job with replacing fighters? And even in some of the undercards and some of the preliminary fights that they have they done a good job of actually, you know, controlling when they do get a positive test?
They have, Adam, and I'll tell you why. Because Mike Brown, who is Jorge Masvidal's cornerman, tested positive before he even jumped on the plane to corner Jorge Masvidal. He tested positive. He was not allowed on the plane. Anytime anyone is around or tests positive, they quarantine them. They test everyone that they've had contact with. And again, it's the whole mindset of the show must go on, but safety first. So Masvidal tested before he even left Miami, and he went to Las Vegas. He went to Las Vegas, to UFC headquarters, tested there. Once he came back negative, they allowed him to jump on a private plane to go to Fight Island. As soon as he landed, he tested, you know, for the coronavirus. They gave him a coronavirus test. Then once he cleared that, he was able to walk around and be within the confines of Fight Island. After the weigh-in, he tested again. He cleared that. So they have extensive testing, and I think it is wonderful to see how much they are putting forth the safety of the fighters while at the same time making sure that the events move forward under the necessary safety precautions.
Previewing 251, UFC 251 with Ray Flores, brought to you by Body Armor, Chris Black, and Am Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. So, Ray, specifically going through the logistics of the event, because in Abu Dhabi, not only is it hot, I think it was like a high of 109 degrees there today. The fighters will be fighting in the morning, so it's on TV for us in the United States to consume at night. Go through the logistics. How does this work for the fighters? Are they going to be at their best of their abilities fighting in the morning and having it be a different setting than a normal UFC event?
So, guys, I'm going to go ahead and pull back the fourth wall here for you in terms of what's happening to Fight Island. So they had that photo circulating that I'm sure you've seen about the octagon on the beach, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Well, this event is being held indoors because of the fact that the lights and the canvas would be way too hot that early in the morning. You don't want to deal with potential sandstorms. There's too much the variables that you cannot control. So it was a nice photo that the UFC went ahead and did, but the fight is actually happening indoors with the lights, with air conditioning, under controlled situation. It's better for the athletes. It's better for the TV crew. So Fight Island, yes, it is a thing, but they're not actually fighting on the beach, contrary to what people thought initially.
Okay, so Ray, if it's held inside and you can find places in this country to set up a UFC ring, why the H did they go all the way to Abu Dhabi?
Because it's Fight Island.
But it's not.
But nothing sounds cooler.
But they're inside.
Nothing sounds cooler than yelling.
This is the soundstage. This is going to the moon, but being in a Hollywood soundstage. This is exactly what it is. Why did you go all the way to Abu Dhabi for this?
Because why? I'll tell you this. Listen to this. Ray, I hate to put you on the spot, but in your best spot. Imagine you're in the ring.
Yeah.
And give me a welcome to Fight Island.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to UFC Fight Island.
How awesome does that sound? You get to have people yelling Fight Island.
Hold on. Ray, you could give a little bit more mustard. You could put a little more mustard on that. Dog, I've seen you live on Showtime on Fox. Seen you in the ring.
Yeah,
come on, Ray.
Pretend I'm paying you.
Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very good evening and welcome to UFC Fight Island. This is UFC 251.
And then the bell, you give the card for the bell. Right?
Well, there are no bells in MMA, guys, only in boxing.
Yeah, you don't do the bell.
But still, but Ray's in his element.
You do that weird, they do that clap thing when there's only 10 seconds
left. Yeah, exactly.
Right,
but Fight Island is used, it's more a marketing tool, guys, and it's allowed for international fighters to be able to compete.
And I'm looking at it. I know a lot about the deserts. I lived in one for a while. Right now, this time tomorrow is when we'll be right around the main event-ish
type fight thing, right?
Yeah, okay. It's 96 degrees
right now.
I wasn't kidding.
And
it's early in the morning.
It was a high of 109.
Yeah, you can't be out there fighting in that.
Okay, Ray, since you cover boxing as well, I wanted to get your opinion on this. I've been watching a lot of top-ranked boxing on ESPN television over the course of the last month. I've been very interested in it, and I think it's been a very good event. What do you think of the way Top Rank has showcased their boxers on ESPN over this month where we really haven't had sports, but you could turn on the TV on a Tuesday and a Thursday night and see some good boxing on television?
I love it, guys. I think it's been terrific because, look, main events have dropped down. And we have seen, you know, smaller cards, but we've seen, you know, guys like Shakur Stevenson. We've seen also a kid, you know, he lost, you know, to a fighter from the Philippines. Joshua Greer came up short. But we have seen, you know, the Maloney brothers from Australia go ahead and fight and display their talent. I think the fights have been very good. I think they've been competitive. But I also want to caution the fans in that you're not going to get Wilder Fury, or you're not going to get these preeminent matchups right away because of the situation that we're dealing with because of the coronavirus pandemic. No fans, smaller cards mean that the financial, the money isn't what it is when fans are packing the place. So I think the fights have been competitive. I think they've been very entertaining. And I think the Top Rank has done a marvelous job alongside the Nevada State Athletic Commission to make sure that the fights go off without a hitch. And even though a fighter or a quarter mental test positive, they isolate them. The card continues. I think it has been a home run by Top Rank. And I can't wait to get back in, you know, to see boxing back and doing what we do best.
Ray, when's the next time we can see you in the squared circle?
Well, guys, August 1st is what I'm hearing. Showtime will be back, and then August 8th on Fox. Guys, I miss it. It is a passion of mine, but we're going to get some terrific fights. Actually announced that Stephen Fulton will be fighting Angelo Leo, 122-pound matchup on Showtime August 1. August 8th, the soundstage in Los Angeles, with Jamal James and Tomas Delorme, Jamal James from nearby Minneapolis. So I'm excited to get back, guys. I miss boxing, and lo and behold, let's just get these guys throwing punches under safe conditions.
See, now, Abdallah had you do a promo, a ring announcement for a company you don't even work for. So how about you? How about you give us the real sell job on a Showtime broadcast coming up? What is it going to sound like? Well, you know, you've had 3 months, 3.5 months of this pandemic,
man.
Ray. You're back in the ring. You're there. The mic, the bell. Give it to us. Give us a good sell on our way out.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to Los Angeles, California, as we welcome you to PBC on Fox.
That's
there you
perfect.
Go, gentlemen. Yes! I have the bell ringer.
That's
there
perfect.
We go.
Perfect. Thank you, Ray. We appreciate you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, boys. Continue to do an amazing job. I miss all of you. Enjoy your time in the greatest city in the world, the Chicago.
That's Ray Flores from Fox Sports and Showtime giving us his ring call on his way out. Ray Flores. Follow him on Twitter at SBR Flores. He's the best.
He even gave you the hard sell on the city.
Yeah.
He even gave the greatest city in the world. I miss you guys in the greatest city in the world, Chicago.
That's my old roommate. I love it. He's fantastic. Tonight's coverage of UFC 251 is brought to you by Body Armor. You can go to 7-Eleven and get two 28-ounce body armors for $4. Do it. Hashtag only you can. Shout out to Body Armor. Shout out to 7-Eleven for sponsoring
partnering. How many ounces?
Two 28-ounce body armors for $4.
God, that's over 50 ounces of body armor for $4.
I know. Just go to 7-Eleven and get it.
Oh.
Shout out to 7-Eleven. Shout out to Body Armor. And thank you for listening to tonight's show as we preview UFC 251. When we come back, you will hear from Jorge Masvidal as we continue to preview the fights tomorrow night.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Tonight's coverage of UFC 251 is brought to you by Body Armor. I'm Chris Bleck with Adam Abdallah. Bleck and Abdallah with you here tonight. Phone number 312-332-3776 as we preview the fights for tomorrow night. Adam, earlier this week, Jorge Masvidal got a chance to talk with Ariel Helwani and his MMA show on ESPN. Here's that conversation from earlier this week as they preview UFC 251.
Jorge, thank you so much and congrats on getting the fight.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. We go back way, so I mean I have to like break the news with you here, right? Isn't it the way it should be?
I think so, and I appreciate that you haven't forgotten about me since we've been talking for so many years. So let's get into this. This is crazy. When you found out that Gilbert Burns was out, did you or your team reach out to the UFC, or did they reach out to you? How did this all start?
Let me ask you a question. What do you think happened? What do you think? How do you think it was? I just want to, just out of curiosity, is Corporate Jake going to cut in here and like, hey, you have 5 minutes left?
No, okay, we got all night, baby.
Questions today.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
Okay, good, good. So, what do you think? I called them, or they called me? You know me pretty good.
I think they called you.
Bingo.
Did they call you Friday or Saturday?
When did we initially? I'm gonna say, I think Saturday. Friday night. I'm sorry. I'm all messed up because I've been traveling. Friday night's when they called. Saturday was the deal was in place. Now I had to, you know, not have Corona, be able to get to a certain place in a certain time, which was here in Vegas. So I passed all these certain steps, and I still got more steps to pass. I still got to go to Abu Dhabi. Everybody has to get retested again, and all this craziness, you know. So we're doing good right now because we're all quarantined and distancing. Everybody has their own hotel room. I'm not hanging out with nobody, just at the gym, and then that's it. Everybody's right back to the room, ordering food to the room. So we're gonna make it there just fine, you know. So yeah, the fight was maybe Saturday, like around 7-8 p.m. is when the fight was becoming a reality.
Okay, so obviously this was supposed to be the main event, and then you guys were really far apart, and they moved on and went with Gilbert. Mm-hmm. When they reached out, were you still very far apart, or we were on? So how did it get done? How were the negotiations?
We had to break them down. That's why some people don't seem too happy as they were announcing it. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to talk about it too much. You can see it in their face, a little bit of anger and anguish. But I'm going to do my job always, which is provide for me and my family. I'm not going to give a what anybody says, what this guy says, that guy says. I've been in this business a while. I know what I generate. We know what we generate. It's a numbers game. The numbers are there. It's not, I think I deserve this. No, I see on paper what I bring in. We know, me and my team know what I deserve, you know? So when we got undercut and lowballed, all right, cool, no problem. Let's see what happens, you know? I told my manager, I told several people, I go, guys not going to like that they're f***ing with me. Watch, at the last moment, they're probably going to call me back, and some craziness is going to happen. And I told that the several people that are very, very close to me, and sure enough, bam, it happened. Now, I didn't get exactly what I wanted, but I got very, very close to it. So I'm taking the fight, you know?
Are you happy ultimately with the deal?
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy more than anything because I get to break this guy's face and get paid for it. But one thing I'm not going to do, which I've done a long part of my career, is get underpaid. That's not going to happen no more. Not from here going forward. Since I came back from Exaglon after the Till fight, me and my management sat down. We discussed the numbers where I needed to be at, and we needed to hit those very quick. We're not there yet, but we're headed in that direction, you know. So moving forward after this fight, they're going to treat me accordingly, or, you know, I'll just step in last minute, 6 days to go, and then get paid then, I guess, you know. This is the new scheme I have to do, whatever. But I'm going to get paid every time out. And I want to thank you, Ariel, for not being a company man, for speaking from your heart, from speaking from not like a position of oppression, like a lot of other guys in the UFC Horsemen, which I'm not going to mention. I'm on the show making famous. But we know who these company guys are that after they're done fighting, they're going to just work for the UFC. So they always opinionate towards the UFC or guys that used to fight in the UFC, and just their opinions are always to protect the UFC and trying to make fighters like me and myself, because I'm not the only one doing this or going through this, like we're lunatics, like we're crazy, you know, because it's just, I'm not asking for them to pay me something outrageous. No, I'm asking to just give me more money of what I do bring in off the pay-per-view side. And that's what we were fighting for. And we came to a pretty good deal. So I'm happy right now. You know, I'm not complaining about the current deal, but the initial deal with Gilbert Burns, I mean, with what's his name, was a deal on the pay-per-view end and on the guarantee side. So I have two negatives. I can understand you don't want to give me that much on the guarantee, but on the pay-per-view, what I bring in, what people purchase, I want more money of that, and they weren't budgeting with that, and neither was I. You know, so all this craziness had to happen for them to come to their senses.
Did you agree to just a one fight situation, a one fight deal, or do you have a whole new contract with the UFC now?
You know how it is, bro. You want to get paid, you got to sign a 10 fight contract every time, man.
Right.
So, you know.
So I'm wondering, because you're one of the first big names in the history of the sport to really talk about the business over the past month. You tweeted a lot about things that you were unhappy with that didn't only pertain to you, but pertain to a lot of other people. Now that this is done and you're fighting for the belt, are you going to stop talking about that stuff, or do you feel like you still have to talk about that? That now more than ever, you have to talk about it. Like, what's your mindset like now?
I'm going to speak always from the heart. There's no there's no filters on my tongue. So I'm just, if you ask or the next reporter asks, I'm just going to say what I've seen with my eyes through the sport. I'm not a guy that's been here 2-3 years. I'm a guy that's been here quite some time. I know the sport very well, the ins and outs. From the management side to the show business side, I know it very, very well. This is something that I do day and night. So I know where I should be at, you know, and not just me, but I want to see my brothers and sisters in the sport also get paid what they deserve, you know. Does that mean a pay bump for everybody? No. But there's a lot of people that do deserve more money, and I wouldn't mind seeing all these individuals get what they deserve.
So that's Jorge Masvidal with Ariel Helwani and his MMA show on ESPN. You know, Masvidal is someone that you could definitely root for because it's easy to see the grit behind the work of trying to get to this point. Such a long career to finally get a title shot. It's pretty cool. I think, what, over 18 fights to get to this point, one of the longest in UFC history.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he may not be the best, but he's someone you could root for, though.
Yeah, I think that when he said, I'd like to have the opportunity to break this guy's face this weekend, that's where I was sold. That's what sold me.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, he's going to get paid to break a dude's face this weekend. At least that's what I hope, because that's where my money went.
Our coverage of UFC 251 is brought to you by Body Armor.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Thanks to Ray Flores. Get the preview of UFC 251 with Ray on our podcast page on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you find your podcast. Black and Abdallah. Download it there. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Body Armor. Go to 7-Eleven and get 2 28-ounce body armors for $4. Hashtag only you can. Check out Body Armor. And thanks to 7-Eleven as well. Drink Body Armor. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000.
Chris, are you aware of the hottest internet sensation? The hottest thing on the net, on the web, on the interweb?
No,
on the WWW, the World Wide Web.
You got something new over there?
The World Wide Web.
Tonight? We've got new internet fads tonight on a Friday night?
The time has come. Our long wait as a nation is finally over. The money plane has landed.
The what?
Money plane.
What's that?
Money plane.
What do you...
It's money plane. Do you like to gamble?
Okay, so when someone asks you to clarify something and you just respond by saying that same word over and over again, that doesn't give any context clues to what you're talking about.
It's money plane.
So money plane is money plane is money plane is what you've basically said to me.
It's money plane.
Okay, so there's a plane flying around throwing out cash?
There's a plane.
Is that what's taking place?
There's a plane. There's a professional thief with $40 million in debt and his family's life on the line, and he must commit one final heist, rob a futuristic airborne casino filled with the world's most dangerous criminals.
What movie is that from?
Money Plane.
Money Plane is a movie.
The movie is called Money Plane. It stars Kelsey Grammer, Thomas Jane, Denise Richards.
Wait, it's an old movie?
And Edge. No, it came out today. This was released today. And it's and Edge, if the wrestler Edge, Adam Copeland.
Yeah, I remember. Long hair, right? Yes. Long blonde hair?
Yes.
Okay. And you do the like flip back thing with the hair?
The popular clip going around, we can't play it, but the popular clip going around is if you can bet on whatever you want to. If you want to bet on a dude doing something with an alligator, go right ahead.
What do you mean?
You know what it is. You can bet on that. It's Money Plane. And it's the new...
Oh, there's like articles on the Ringer about
Sharknado. It's the new Sharknado.
Oh, this it's really bad.
Yes. This is going to be... look at that. Yes. That you're looking at the poster right now. This is the Money Plane.
An explosive casino heist in sky.
Yes. Money Plane.
All right. Denise Richards, by the way, she's in The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills now.
Is she?
Yeah. She's actually like one of the normal ones. Yeah, you know, like how some of them are complete whack jobs.
But are the normal The ones that are more down to earth. I don't want to say normal.
She's like down to earth.
Are the ones that
she's
are down
key,
to
pretty
earth.
Cool.
But is that because she's a celebrity? And because she knows she needs to be more down to earth because she's going to be scrutinized more than the non-celebrity wives.
I get what you're asking. I think that she's just been around the game for a while, so she's not like trying to put on for the cameras.
Okay.
Like, she seems as if she is somewhat down to earth.
Okay. Will you watch Money Plane?
What's it on? What streaming service?
I don't know. I was going to find out when I go to watch it.
Like, The Edge has, like, the biggest photo in the...
Oh, The Edge is the star. If you go to IMDb, he's first billed.
Okay, now you're looking at the photo, right?
He is first billed.
The picture of the movie?
Yes.
What's wrong with his arm there?
He is first billed.
Look at the way he's holding the gun.
He's first billed.
But that's not how his arm actually bends. Do you see this? That's not normal. Yeah, do you see how he's holding
the gun like this?
But no one holds a gun like that up
to
their face.
To fit everything into the... do you see a Thomas Jane up there?
But you could have knocked Kelsey Grammer out of the shot here and put a bicep of the Edge in there.
That's a Thomas Jane in there?
Look at his hand.
I'm just saying.
His arm holding the gun in the picture of the Money Plane poster looks like he has the arm of a velociraptor.
Do you remember from the 90s growing up? Do you remember, what if I told you, do you remember the Lawrence brothers? Joey Lawrence?
Yeah.
Matthew Lawrence?
Yeah.
Andrew Lawrence?
Mm-hmm.
They're all in this. Andrew Lawrence is the director and wrote the screenplay. The youngest of the Lawrence brothers. Yeah. First I had your attention. Now I have your, whatever the rest of that quote is from Django Unchained.
Huh.
Yeah, now you're intrigued. I bring the Lawrence brothers into it, and now you're intrigued. Do I need to sell you on anything else? It's a Money Plane.
I'm going to try and Google this while we're sitting here. We're still doing the show, right?
So basically, Edge
You've completely taken my attention away from the show.
So Edge...
Our UFC preview.
Edge owes a bunch of money.
Okay.
And Kelsey Grammer says, go on the Money Plane and rob it, and you give me the money from the Money Plane.
So why is the plane just flying around with money? It's just up there?
Well, it's international air. There's no rules.
Well, but yes. Of course. When it comes to movies, always. International waters, there's never rules. We get that.
But this is international.
Pirates,
but.
We get that but, with flights.
Chris.
We get it. Yes.
But.
On land, if you find a place, an oasis in between spots.
However, this is international airspace.
No, I get that.
You don't, because I don't think that's been done before.
Has it?
I don't know.
I'm sure it has. You're telling me it took us all the way to 2020 in a pandemic to get to
a movie called Money Plane?
Yeah, with international airspace?
It's not a remake. Last I checked, this is an original Hollywood idea by the Lawrence brothers, specifically Andrew Lawrence, the youngest of the Lawrence brothers.
Where can I watch this? Have you figured that out yet?
I think you have to pay for it.
I'm not paying for this.
Come on!
You pay for it and you tell us how it was.
Why?
I'm not paying for it.
I'm trying to Google it.
Please don't tell me it's on like Quibi.
No. Wait, what am I gonna make you watch a movie on your phone upright?
I'm just saying because that one trailer for the Quibi show with the guy from
Kevin Hart?
No, the other guy. From Inglourious Bastards. That guy.
Brad Pitt?
Christoph Waltz.
Oh. Yeah, no.
And the hunk. He's with a hunk on Quibi. It looks great.
It's not on Quibi.
All right, not on Quibi. Well, tweet us if you figure it out, because we'll be back on Sunday from 8 to 10. Bye.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.